et per ipsum Christum redire omnia in integrum a quosum sere principium. Per Christum Dominum nostrum.
Amen.
Pope Francis, the Easter Vigil at St. Peter's Basilica. How was your Easter? Did it get as genuinely sincere as that? Did you celebrate Easter or Passover in the traditional manner? Did you simply gorge on a variety of foods appropriate to the occasion? Let's check what Scott Stevens did. He's the online editor of Religion and Ethics for the ABC. Scott, how was your Easter?
It was very nice, Jonathan. There aren't many times. I bear the scars of having worked within parish ministry for a period of time, and I'll confess there aren't many periods of time during the year when I miss that sort of thing. Easter, however, is one I'll confess I really do miss. It's a great sadness for me that there aren't many places in Australia that signify or observe All of Holy Week with various events throughout the week leading up to Good Friday, a Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, then Easter Sunday.
It's one of those events in a very secularized culture which still rings true with its original significance. You couldn't really say that about Christmas, for example, but Easter is different.
Exactly right. In fact, there are a good many of very fine Christians, and I should even say not a few church leaders out there who are of the opinion, for goodness sake, just give Christmas up. Give it up to the tinsel and the ridiculousness and the commercialism of the whole thing. But if there's one holiday, if there's one feast day that the church really can't budge on, it is Easter. And I don't know. I have tremendous sympathy to that kind of reasoning.
It speaks to the central tenets of the Christian faith, but it's broader, of course, than a Christian event. The Passover as well has just been marked. It's also an opportunity, Scott, for our world leaders to get up and talk about things of significance, things of some sort of moment and weight, with something with sort of an ethical and moral focus.
Yeah, look, it is always kind of interesting to me, Jonathan, I'll confess, because you never know quite what regional or world religious leaders are going to come up with. And I know some very cynically minded people who think this is all just one big media grab, that this is one of the times of the year when the media turns their attention to religious leaders. They issue their Easter messages. And, I mean, this year we had everything from Sierra Leone through to Ukraine, through to Palestine, through to unethical Easter eggs, through to the plight of Chilean in detention camps. I mean, it was quite... It is interesting to hear these various moral or political issues given such prominence. But one of the things that I suppose I really did try to mark on the Religion Ethics website, which I look after for the ABC, I kind of did my own little, sort of Easter week, Holy Week observance, I'll confess, and try to give the season a bit more of a deliberately contemplative, but also a bit more of a political slant. Because one of the things that every theologian within the Christian and certainly the Jewish tradition worth their salt have recognized is that Passover and Easter are replete with deep theological, yes, but also moral and political resonances. Mm-hmm. There's something about the Easter season which is supposed to take us off guard, because if Easter says anything, it says that power isn't the only game in town. It says that when God does things, they often look very different from the way that we expect them to look. And it also says that our attention has got to be much more firmly on those who are living in a permanent state of contradiction and of darkness and upheaval and paradox than we often give credit. And it also says that there aren't easy answers. And I mean, one of the things that I tried to demonstrate on the Religion Ethics website this week is that Easter isn't the solution to anything. It just redesigns, it redefines the problem, and hopefully points us looking in much more creative, much more interesting directions.
Well, people should head there and read. Now, one final point, Scott, on this, and I want to get to this idea of truth in politics, but if you can quickly resolve something for us. Last year, Easter Sunday was March 31st. This year, it's April 20. What's going on?
Yeah, this is a very, very old thing, Jonathan. Prior to the 4th century, Easter was always tied to Passover. It was basically, okay. it was marked by the first Sunday following the first full moon following the vernal equinox in the northern hemisphere.
Of course it was.
Of course. Now, after the 4th century and the Council of Nicaea, and then again after the 16th century, all this stuff was re-ratified. Instead, Easter Sunday was hitched to what's usually referred to as the Paschal full moon or the ecclesiastical full moon, which is the first full moon following March the 20th. Now, the funny thing is that the ecclesiastical full moon need not tie into the actual full moon, if I can put it that way. It can be before or after by 1 or 2 days, which basically means if you work out the algorithms, blah, 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 it means that Easter is going to happen at any stage. It's going to be the first Sunday following the first full moon, somewhere between the 21st of March and the 18th of April, depending upon when the dates work out, which means that Easter Sunday happens between the 22nd of March and the 25th of April, and then the clock resets every leap year. That's the simplest that I could possibly get it. In other words, blame it on church astronomers in the 16th century. I'll just put it down to that.
With that other bundle of stuff that we routinely blame on those people. Scott Stevens, in the short time available to us, a politician's promise, what's it worth?
Yeah. Look, I don't think that we have the vocabulary left to be able to analyze something like that. Look, let me just try for this analogy. There was a very, very fine Italian economist and philosopher in the 18th century, named Antonio Genovese. He was overshadowed by his morally bankrupt contemporary, Adam Smith. Genovese had this very nice idea that economics is meaningless without the idea of public faith. Mm-hmm. Now, public faith isn't the sum total of the faith that we invest in one another. Public faith is our capacity to trust. It's our capacity to trust in institutions, in families. It's our capacity to believe that people can change without fundamentally screwing us. And I think the only way of really getting our head around what public faith might mean today is by thinking about marriage. I mean, within marriage, you can and you should change. Your mind might change. Your behavior might change. And yet that change takes place within the coordinates of an overarching and undergirding fidelity that makes sure that you can then look back at that change.
So
and
we married the government, but we should expect some things to change over time.
Yes. Well, when we elect, we are putting a degree of faith in people who hopefully have earned our trust to the extent that they can then exercise their wisdom, they can then exercise their prudence, they can change their mind, but within an undergirding sense of basic public fidelity. Now, this is close to what we mean by social capital, but I don't think it's exactly the same. In other words, I don't think the whole promise-keeping, promise-breaking thing is going to resolve itself until we come back to what we might mean by a public notion of trust, basic trust. Trust in politics.
A somewhat broader context. Scott Stevens, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Jonathan.
Scott
thank
Stevens
you.
Is the editor of ABC Religion and Ethics Online. So there you have it. You see, politics is like a marriage. Richer, poorer, and without cuts to the ABC or SBS. And we'll leave those Medicare locals. All these things. Our Red Drive continues after the news. Off to Syria, where presidential elections will be held in a few weeks. How will this poll be carried out in such a war-torn place? And what will be its legitimacy to Nepal too, where Sherpa guides are calling for greater compensation? That's all coming up in our next hour, 7 o'clock.